Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We've been talking Kentucky, and more Kentucky since we did find out that John Calipari is off to Arkansas. He was officially introduced yesterday, and now we're trying to figure out who the next coach of the Wildcats will be. Let's tap into Big Blue Nation right now with Kyle Tucker. Does a great job covering the team for The Athletic, and he's kind enough to join us right now. Kyle, thanks for the time. How you been?
Good. How are you?
Doing fantastic. So let's start in order here with Scott Drew. It seemed like in the last 24 hours, a lot of people were thinking he was going to be the next coach of the Wildcats. When it comes out today that he's staying with Baylor, just had you kind of process that one and react to it, especially with people you talk to.
Yeah, it's a big blow for Kentucky because, you know, the biggest reason it's not the biggest deal in the world if you miss on your first guy. But I think the reason this one is significant for Kentucky is because Mitch Barnhart had this guy in mind for the better part of 3 years. In 2021, when Baylor won the national title in the COVID bubble, Mitch Barnhart, the Kentucky athletic director, was the chair of that tournament. They got to know each other. He got to see him up close and personal and be very impressed by him. And I've been told for a long time, I wrote it over 2 years ago when someone asked me in a mailbag, you know, whenever Cal leaves, who would be at the top of the list, that it would be Scott Drew, that he'd be the first call, the second call, and the third call, has basically been at the top of that list ever since. And so I think it is significant that the guy the athletic director has had in mind for all this time and immediately went after, by the way. John Calipari was still in Lexington when a private jet with a Kentucky contingent took off from Lexington to bring back Scott Drew's family yesterday to come see the town and kind of make their decision. And so, I mean, it was the first thing he did when it was official that John Calipari was out the door was to try to go get his guy. And I think when you're that settled on one candidate, I would never suggest that he only had one candidate.
Sure.
I think he's a very smart guy and had others. But I think in his mind, he has probably believed that when the time came, with as much money and resources as Kentucky has to offer and the brand name of Kentucky, and two, it was always going to be hard to follow John Calipari, but it's not as hard as it was, you know, when he was at the height of his powers. I think Barnhart probably believed he was going to get this done, and he didn't. And so now it's on to, you know, what next? And that's a really tough question because, you know, the kind of people that you could hire that would be a no doubt, you know, walk off home run, everybody's happy, nobody's questioning it. That's a tough list because, like, Danny Hurley, right? That's the first one you want to hire. Well, he just won two national titles at UConn. They're going to give him everything they can give him to keep him. And yes, I think Kentucky could and probably already has outbid, you know, dollar for dollar UConn, but you can't necessarily buy happiness. If you're in a part of the country you like, if you're in at a school that you love, if you feel like you can do something special, and Danny Hurley, I think we've all seen his self-belief.
Yeah.
He believes they can go chase a three-peat. He believes they can create, as he said, a modern-day dynasty, which seems impossible, right, until Danny started doing this in this transfer portal era. I don't think he's going to do it. He's pretty unequivocally said he's not going to do it. Okay, so now you move on to who? You're not hiring Bill Self away from Kansas.
Is Billy Donovan a realistic name to you?
Yes, I think so. I think Billy Donovan, he's obviously turned them down twice in the past. He started his career, two of his children were born in Lexington, starting his career as an assistant under Rick Pitino in the early 90s. They've tried to go after him before, and he didn't take it. From what I gather, I think he's more open to a return to college. I mean, things aren't going great in Chicago. It feels like the NBA thing is kind of petering out for him a little bit. And there's just this, if you're thinking about career and legacy and just sort of how you bookend a career, you start your coaching career at Kentucky. You have this incredible run before Danny Hurley. He was the last coach to repeat as national champs at Florida. He's familiar with the league. He's familiar with all of the bigness of what the Kentucky program is. And when that program comes calling now and they sort of need a savior, you were part of that process, right? When Rick was brought in to be the savior, you know what that looks like. And you know sort of how loved you can be and how special the place can be if you're part of that. And there's a lot of money, as we mentioned.
Well, it seemed like Kyle Tucker's here with us, who covers the Kentucky Wildcats for The Athletic. I know what he said the other night before they played the Knicks, how much he loves Chicago, and that's his focus right now. I kind of read into that where he was basically saying, call me Kentucky, and let's have a conversation.
Yeah, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but the words that didn't come out of his mouth were, no, there's no chance. I'm not interested in going back to college.
Yeah,
and he talked a lot. By the way, he said a lot of words.
Do you think he talked about? Do you think he'd take the job if he was offered it?
I can't say yes, but I can say I think he would. I think he would have that conversation. And the only problem with Billy right now is really a problem of timing, because their season doesn't end at least until the next weekend. They're in the play-in game situation. If they win that, right, now they're in an actual series, I don't know that Kentucky could afford to wait. I think they could absolutely afford to wait until the end of next week. It's not ideal. He is not necessarily an ideal, in this specific situation, not an ideal candidate, because you're going to have to completely redo your roster, and he's not an active coach in college who is going to bring transfers from his roster, who's going to bring his recruiting class. And that way, Drew is a perfect candidate, right? Because he has a number six recruiting class and he has a couple of five-star kids, one of which Kentucky almost got itself. You could almost have plug and play, with Scott Drew and the talent he was going to bring and assume they were going to be pretty good year one. That is a bit much bigger question with a guy like Billy Donovan, because Billy's not been in college, but the transfer portal didn't exist the last time Billy was coaching in college. And you're getting this later start if you wait until the end of next week. I think what Kentucky needs from Billy Donovan is an early conversation, even if it's in the back channels, even if it's not direct with Billy, but they Absolutely. Need to know with a nod and a wink today or tomorrow or the next day. I mean, soon.
Like if we wait, you're definitely going to end up coming to Lexington.
You're taking this.
Because then it gets – like I saw Adam Zagoria said he was texting with the coach, and he was like, oh, this is getting embarrassing for Kentucky so far. That's what the coach said. Like, I don't think this is embarrassing for Kentucky yet. Jay Wright was never coming. Dan Hurley was never coming here. Obviously, the Scott Drew thing was surprising, but look what he has done at Baylor. It's not the easiest thing to leave. Whatever happened with Nate Oates is what happened. Like, I don't think it's embarrassing yet, but if they waited for Scott Drew for Billy Donovan another 10 days or so, and then he says thanks but no thanks, then it gets embarrassing.
Then it's embarrassing. You're absolutely right. And like, as a fan base, I think even as the media, like, you can't say to Kentucky, make them say no, this list, make them say no.
And then they get upset when they say no.
You say kudos, right? If you took a $10 million bag to Danny Hurley today and he said no, good on you. You tried, right? And there's no shame in like, well, we couldn't get the guy who's just won back-to-back national titles to leave the place he's trying to build a dynasty.
Who's also had a great program. Like, you could argue the best program in the last 30 years in college basketball.
I think you couldn't argue otherwise.
Yeah.
They are. I mean, they are the dynasty. They are the blue blood of the new bloods. There's just no doubt about it. They have won six to Kentucky's one national championship over the last 25 years. I mean, if we're talking all of history, no, but if we're talking in the last 25 years, absolutely. So no, I don't think it's embarrassing, but I think we're to the point with with Kentucky that, like, of the absolute home run opportunities, the make them say no's, and if you get one to say yes, you've crushed it. Billy is probably last on that, you know, in that group for them. And you need him to indicate in some way it's going to happen if you wait on me. I would say too, like, maybe one thing to watch if you're trying to figure out if that's a possibility is how engaged or if they get engaged with other candidates in the next week.
Good point.
You know, if we stop hearing Kentucky's talking to this guy and that guy, then we might know something, you know. And two, you could put a skeleton crew. You could designate someone to be a recruiter on campus in the meantime if you knew Billy was coming. And you start talking to players and say, "Yeah, we got somebody pretty great coming. Like, why don't you, if you're making a decision, why don't you wait?" That goes for transfer portal guys. That goes for recruits. I think you would say to some of those five-star recruits who have decommitted from Kentucky, "Hey, if you wanted to actually play for the school," and I think most of them go to play for the coach. I think most of them are going to go with Cal to Arkansas. But you have a chance, I think, if you get a nod and a wink from Billy Donovan, that you have somebody in that recruiting office start making phone calls. And I would also say, if I was Kentucky, I'd be willing to completely sacrifice year one to know you're having Billy Donovan for the long term. Because I would bet on Billy Donovan to figure it out, to hire a staff who knows the transfer portal, who knows all NIL, who knows the stuff that didn't exist before he got there, and then trust his ability to lead and coach and do all the other things. Like, Billy is a really smart guy. He is a very respected, you know, I would almost say general manager of a program. And I think college basketball needs a GM more than anything right now. If you're running a high level program, and Billy Donovan strikes me as that. I actually thought, you know, when I was trying to dissect over these last few years, like, what has gone wrong for Kentucky and Calipari, I thought he missed an opportunity to almost ascend to that general manager role, where you are at a high level running your program and you bring in the best of the best of the best in your staff, and you just kill it with thoroughness and organization and all of those things. Kentucky, I know Cal has talked about not feeling supported, has indicated that he didn't feel as supported at Kentucky, but they still spend more on basketball than anybody in America. He was making $9 million a year. His staff was making $500 to $1 million a staffer. That's enough money that if you use it the right way on the right people, you're going to succeed. And I think Billy Donovan would be a guy who could come in at a high level, figure out the right people to help him, to know what he doesn't know, and in the long term, kill it. And to me, if you got that, if you knew you were getting that, you just say year one's a wash. If he scraps something together and is competitive, which you'd probably bet on Billy to do also, great. If he doesn't, I think you like your outlook in the long-term future.
So let's just say Kyle Tucker, who covers the Kentucky Wildcats for The Athletic, let's say Billy Donovan says, "Thanks, but no thanks." I've suggested Bruce Pearl then. Who's someone that you would suggest a name or two if we go through this and we know Scott Drew's not coming, no Nate Oates, and then obviously that would require Billy Donovan to say no. Where do they go after that?
Yeah, it's going to be really, that's where it does get, I don't know if you say embarrassing yet, but it gets worrisome for them. I think there is one guy who breaks the fall and you still win the press conference. It would be a little controversial, but I think it would be the story of college basketball then and all through next season, and that's Rick Pitino. I think he would crawl over broken glass and molten lava and everything else to come back to what the place he's called Camelot. You know, as I wrote today, he might be the only coach out there who could actually potentially convince Reed Shepherd to come back to school. I mean, he is very close with that family. He coached Jeff Shepherd. If you somehow got that tandem, I think every fan in the fan base would take it, you know, every day of the week.
Do you think that's realistic, though, from Mitch's perspective? Would Mitch do that?
Probably not. No, I mean, he doesn't strike me as a guy that could coexist with Mitch. But if you're Mitch and this thing, you know, and you're plummeting down the list of candidates and you have to nail it, right? You have got to hire a guy who moves the needle. Like, I just don't think you can hire some, like, so I was just, as before we came on, I'm engaging with some people on Twitter about Todd Golden. I'm a huge Todd Golden guy. Like, I think he's going to be excellent. I think he's one of the bright young coaches in college basketball. There's a bunch of those guys, right? Like Shirts and all, you know, Dusty May. you know, further down, Bucky McMillan, none of those guys, you can't hire somebody like that to Kentucky. You know, Todd Golden has zero NCAA tournament wins right now at 38 years old. That's not the job you give somebody in that stage of their career. But if you hire Rick Pitino and he's got four or five more years in the tank and he gets you back on solid ground, and then you know you keep your eye on those four or five young coaches who in 4 or 5 years are going to be ready for a job like that, that makes some sense, right? Like as a transitional guy to get the program running right. I think there's some level of disorganization and fractured relationships and just mess, right? That was happening with Kentucky. That's a fact. It was not running like a well-oiled machine anymore. Someone like Rick would get that stuff squared away, I think. I think that's what Kentucky needs, whether it's Rick Pitino, whether it's any of these guys we've talked about. They got to get somebody in here who's just about work and getting the job done, grinding until you know all the details are covered. I don't think you can afford to assume that because of your name as a coach or the school's name as a brand that you're just going to win because I'm Cal and I'm Kentucky or I'm whoever and this is Kentucky, it'll win. It's not, there aren't any programs that just run themselves anymore because there are a lot of equalizers in college basketball that don't allow the blue bloods to just run away from everybody else. And I think you do have to have a really sharp grinder, you know, grinding minded person running the program. Bruce Pearl, to me, if I was just saying like plug him in and would he win at a really high level? Yes. I don't know if, again, this is another guy that does Mitch Barnhart, who is sort of averse to, you know, drama and problems and baggage, who had to be kind of coaxed into hiring John Calipari the second time after not hiring him the first time. And with Kentucky's history, are they going to hire a coach who had served a 3-year NCAA show cause? I'm not sure. I find that hard to believe. I do think he'd win. Like, no question. I think Bruce Pearl would win at Kentucky.
Well, last thing I want to ask you, I only got about a minute left with Kyle Tucker. Does a great job covering Kentucky for The Athletic. We were talking about this yesterday. When Cal comes back to Rupp Arena, what the reaction's going to be. I said he would get a standing ovation, but then you mentioned the transfer portal, how many guys he's probably going to take to Arkansas. What do you think the fan reaction would be from Big Blue Nation when they introduce Cal as the coach of Arkansas when he returns to Rupp Arena?
I think it's very dependent upon where Kentucky is in that moment. Like if they've cratered out, you know, if they have, if they, you know, are scraping by and Cal comes strutting in, you know, if he's taken all those recruits and they're rolling, I think he gets booed. You know, I think if those programs are somewhat equal at that moment in time, when he comes back in, if people are feeling good about the future, I think once people feel good about Kentucky basketball again, whether that's this season or moving forward, once they feel like their program is back on track, I think there will absolutely be an ability to appreciate him and to honor him. You know, I think even as it soured and there was some sadness that came, I think he's handled a lot of things poorly from a PR standpoint in these latter years, but I think he nailed the goodbye message, and his wife put out a really heartfelt goodbye message. Even in his intro at Arkansas, I think you can hear some sadness in his voice that he didn't really want to leave Kentucky, but he felt like he had to leave Kentucky. And I think people appreciate that. I think they know that he cared about it and wanted it to be great, maybe lost his way. And so I don't know if it'll happen this year. He may get booed this year. He may get booed next year. I don't know. But do I envision a day not that far off where people appreciate Cal and roar for him in there? Yeah, I think that will happen at some point.
Good deal. Kyle Tucker does a great job covering all things Kentucky basketball. You can check him out at The Athletic, also on social media at @Kyle_ATH on Twitter. Kyle, thank you so much. Appreciate the time and the insight.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
How about that suggestion by Kyle? Rick Pitino. I know people have talked about it if X, Y, and Z doesn't happen. And then he did say that he doesn't think it's likely because of the AD and Mitch. But man, I'm coming home. Coming home, tell the world that I'm coming home. Or who said you can't go home? Maybe a little bit more better suited for the year of 2024. But let's get – I don't think we need to hear any more of my singing. And there are some people right now that are like, I can't believe Gelba can't sing. Just wait till I'm at Springsteen tomorrow. A few drinks in at Mohegan Sun. I'll be singing my heart out.
You were just getting the voice ready.
Yeah, I was just getting
there. You go.
I was getting all the bad the bad kind of tone. The unpitched version of Zach Gelb at away on the radio.
There you go.
All righty, we'll come on back. Update time. Here is Dexter Henry.
Hey, everyone. This is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.